Hello there, and welcome back. It's another episode of Habits into Health. This is Michael Ann Conley, and I am your habit change agent. I am here to support you in creating habit change from the inside out so that you can become a change agent in your own life. So if you're feeling stuck, worried, exasperated about a habit that is getting in your way of achieving your dreams, or if you care about someone else and their habits getting in their way and yours, or if your caring about them is getting in your way, then I created this podcast for you. In Habits into Health, we approach the change process from an experiential model. In our modern world, we are really still stuck. As much as we talk about mind and body, we are still stuck in perceiving through the mind, when the mind really isn't meant to be the dictator. It's designed to be a partner with you and to engage with all of you. So what we do here is try to help you focus on tapping in to the wisdom that exists beneath the mind, beneath that part of you that thinks it knows everything, but really doesn't. Lately, we've been talking about sleep and fatigue, and in this episode, we're going to get more specific about things you can do even when there are factors that are going on that are outside your control. And I'll be specifically talking about cortisol levels and how that can influence particularly a stage in women's life from perimenopause through menopause. Before we go there, though, we always like to pave the way with our practice. And I know from the feedback that I get that you may be listening and utilizing this practice every week or whenever you listen in, and I hope it's really helpful for you. There's a baseline for this practice, and there are some limitations of what can be done in a podcast. So I keep it very simple, focusing mostly on helping you attune to your body's rhythm and your body's wisdom. And when you become more attentive to these signals, it turns out that you're more likely to listen and to learn more effectively, and you're also going to learn something about influencing your own actions. And since we've been talking about sleep and fatigue, I've basically been doing a variation of the same practice about this. So if you will, for a moment, notice what your energy level is in a general way. And you could keep it as simple as from low to moderate to high. And this may differ around the time of day and what your natural rhythm tends to be at this particular time of day. So first we notice, what's my general energy state right now? And if you want, you can tune in more specifically with where you feel your energy, because you may have a general state that seems moderate, but then when you tune in on a specific level, you may discover that, wow, I'm feeling really energized in my chest, but my belly feels sluggish and slow. So take a moment and just do a little bit of tuning in, inviting yourself to notice what's most obvious, what stands out, what part of you is speaking right now, and listen to that voice. You don't have to do anything with it. The first step is often just listening to what is. So what is going on in your feet, up your legs, in your pelvis, your hips, your belly? What are you experiencing now in your lower back, in your diaphragm, in the upper back and your chest? Notice as you breathe that breathing isn't just something about bringing air in and out. It's actually a muscular pattern that involves a lot of different layers of activity. And then notice what's happening energetically in your shoulders, in your arms, all the way down to your hands, up into your neck and your throat, into your head, and to your face. just allow yourself this moment to be quiet with yourself. It's something that we so often don't do in the world today. And yet, slowing ourselves down and being attentive to what's really going on right now, even if we're unhappy about it, even if we're ecstatic about it, the process of being attentive can be so soothing and helpful. And by way of transition, just take a couple of deep breaths. This is Habits into Health, and my name is Michaelann Conley. I'm a holistic therapist, and I have worked for many years, 30 years actually, supporting folks just like you who are struggling with patterns and behaviors. We often call them habits. Sometimes they go into the extreme level of habit, which we call addictions. And I have worked supporting folks who are dealing with these issues. And along the way, I have discovered some keys to helping folks free themselves from the patterns and habits that are creating such unhappiness. And I share some of this in this podcast. I also currently am running a survey because I want to hear directly from you. And that's why I've created a survey at habitsintohealth.com. And come on over and click the link right at the top. I'm interested in finding out, what is it that you're going through? What has worked for you and what hasn't worked for you? What kind of support do you want? What are your biggest challenges and your biggest successes? What kind of guidance would be most helpful? And you can do this anonymously if you like. There'll be no questions asked. And I hope I can tailor this podcast more and more to meet your specific needs. And by the way, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Just go to the iTunes store, search for Habits into Health, and click subscribe. And then you will receive this automatically. Let's talk about sleep and fatigue in another way. We all have problems from time to time getting enough sleep and getting restful sleep. And even if this is a regular problem, just know you are not alone. There's a lot of problems that people have where insomnia, not sleeping enough, or hypersomnia, sleeping too much, is associated with it. And so lack of sleep or problems with sleep actually can be a symptom of some other conditions. Weight gain and obesity, chronic illness, depression, being involved with serious events like witnessing or experiencing violence, or being exposed to war. Those create sleep problems as well. We'll be talking today about situations where you don't have complete responsibility, but there are things you can do. Because what I see is something that a lot of folks do, and this may sound familiar to you, and that is laying a lot of responsibility for your problems on yourself, wondering what you're doing wrong or what's wrong with you. And you may feel frustrated. You may not necessarily be falling into blame, but feeling frustrated at a level that suggests that maybe you're not doing enough. And I just know so much that your responsibility often belongs somewhere else and isn't yours. In our first episode in this series, I talked a little bit about biological heritage. That has to do with how your energy naturally flows and that it doesn't fit everybody else's. And then we reminded ourselves not to judge, because there's a lot of situations that we get caught in, and it's hard not to, that involve social rules learned first within a family. And we're affected by them even though we don't create them. And those include expectations about what natural work schedule is that just doesn't follow a normal human rhythm, no matter who you are. And then in the last episode, I brought forward another piece, which is that many sleep problems today are more about our ideas of what normal sleep is, because researchers are showing that our definition of normal sleep has changed, and I gave some examples about that. Throughout, I've been remembering for myself and want to share with you the Serenity Prayer, because it's not my experience that we create our reality. We co-create by managing how we respond to what happens in our lives. So here's a serenity prayer, just as a reminder. Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. In this episode, we're going to cover aspects of your daily rhythm that are a combination of things you cannot change and things that you can change. Genetic and social factors, which is sometimes referred to as epigenetics, and they can impact your energy levels and create fatigue and difficulty around sleep. To help you reset your focus and know what you're truly responsible for, let's start with what's outside your control, like your age, environmental factors such as air and water pollution, and many disease states which have different kinds of influences that can affect sleep patterns. So what is within your ability to control? Mainly your lifestyle, to some extent, and there may be some extents to which your lifestyle is not as easy to manage. Here are some examples. On the genetic side, cortisol levels generally peak in the morning and then gently decrease toward nighttime. On the epigenetic level, well, it turns out that eating creates some uplift in cortisol levels. And on my website at habitsintohealth.com, I've posted a picture of a typical 24-hour cortisol cycle. It shows an early morning surge toward a large spike, and then there's a drop, and then smaller peaks in the afternoon and evening, which may explain the dip in energy most of us feel after lunch or dinner, but also the lift is associated with eating. It sure does make the link between food and energy levels obvious, and makes it so clear that it's not just what you eat, but the fact of eating. And I talk with a lot of clients about this, particularly about breakfast. I was not a big breakfast eater when I was a kid. I don't know about you, but in my experience, eating the first thing I get up just isn't something that I'm oriented toward. However, it is important to eat. It's often the most important meal that you can have in a day. And if you notice that you're sluggish or slow, you might want to shift your eating habits into more protein, which may not necessarily be meat protein. It could be poultry, fish. It could be eggs if that's something that you can eat. It could be yogurt, which contains protein. Steamed vegetables also contain protein. If your energy levels are low in the morning, it can be really helpful to steer away from carbohydrates and toward protein types of food. Now, let's talk about another genetic thing around cortisol levels. Some research has been done into the relationship between chronotype and cortisol levels. Chronotype is whether you're a night owl or a morning lark, many people somewhere in between. If you are a night owl, for instance, your morning cortisol levels are likely to be lower than if you are a morning lark. And this does not necessarily mean that you're unhealthy. It's just different. On the epigenetic level, your cortisol levels are influenced by factors such as stress. And that stress is often linked to outside influences. That can be work stress, that we talked a little bit about last time, particularly around working hours that don't fit your natural rhythm. It can be relationship stress. It can be financial stress. It can be having an experience like witnessing a car wreck or being in one. Your cortisol levels can be influenced by this. There's another kind of outside-inside influence that influences cortisol levels, and that's menopause, or the stage up to menopause, which is perimenopause. For men, andropause, there are shifts and changes in those hormonal influences. So we will see fatigue, lethargy, mood swings, depression, and irritability that often occur. Well, on the genetic side, these symptoms are also found in sleep disruption across the board, regardless of your age and gender. Well, what makes it so common in menopause? There's a book called The Body Clock Guide to Better Health. And in it, Michael Smolinski writes that hot flashes, quote, are the prime cause of sleep disruption in women over age 50. And he cites Suzanne Woodward of Wayne State University School of Medicine. Quote, her studies show that hot flashes in sleep occur about once an hour, most prompt an arousal of 3 minutes or longer. Independently of their hot flashes, women who have them still awaken briefly every 8 minutes on average. So here's the epigenetic information, which is that women in the technological world are much more likely to experience hot flashes because they are more likely to enter this phase of life with stressed out adrenal glands. And I haven't seen any research to this effect, but it makes me wonder that the same may be true for men around andropause, although perhaps a little later in their lives. Here's what women's health specialist Christine Northrup writes, quote, if the intensity and frequency of the stresses in your life, either those internally driven, such as your perceptions about your life, or those externally driven, such as having surgery or working the night shift, if they become too great, then over time your adrenal glands will begin to become exhausted. And this will mean that you're much more likely to suffer from fatigue and menopausal symptoms. End quote. Well, what are some possible solutions? Again, age notwithstanding, gender notwithstanding. If you believe you're not getting enough sleep, don't keep guessing and worrying. Find out by seeing a sleep specialist. I put a link on the website, habitsintohealth.com, so that you can find someone who's close to where you live or work. Many times I find that people don't understand why they're so exhausted. But getting the facts about what your sleep rhythm is can help you know what you can do about it. Another thing is to give your cortisol levels a boost. Eating meals is not just about weight management. It's not just about getting all your vitamins and minerals. It's about energy management, and this is something within your own power. You can also consider getting your cortisol and other hormonal levels tested just in case you have a condition that can be treated. What a concept! You can come to the website habitsintohealth.com. In the search box, type in the word epigenetics, and that'll get you to the content for this specific podcast. That's spelled E, P like Paul, I, G, E N like Nancy, E, T like Tom, I-C-S, epigenetics. Next, if you're in perimenopause or menopause, give your adrenals a rest by reducing your response to external stressors. There's a relatively new, emerging form of yoga that I can personally recommend is helpful for anyone of any gender or age, particularly if you've been dealing with illness or injury, and it's called restorative yoga. It is not designed to be stretchy, but it is a way of attuning and slowing down your pace and being very, very helpful. There are also more active things you can do to give your adrenals a rest. Swimming, walking, listening to music, being with friends, and joining a therapy group that includes practices that can help you manage stress. If you live in the San Francisco area and you want to find out more about my monthly program and my weekly program, come to habitsintohealth.com and click on the link to get support. Next, you want to support a normal menopause process. And Dr. Northrup offers some suggestions about how you can change what you can, and I posted a link to her site at habitsintohealth.com. In addition, there's a book I found called Managing Menopause Naturally, and it is a breath of fresh air in explaining how traditional Chinese medicine approaches this stage of life. If there's one thing that I could do to support you, it would be to shift that belief that there's something wrong with you. because that only sends you into a spin cycle of searching for answers in a scattered way that doesn't lead to real help. Or it leads to you shutting yourself down where no options feel possible. So the first thing is to reorganize the habit that you're personally responsible for everything. Most of us don't realize that much of the language about getting powerful or doing things for yourself is really oriented toward the idea that your ego is so big that you create everything in your life. And this simply isn't sustainable. You don't have to hold up the sky. The universal life force will do that for you. Next time, we'll look at some other external factors that affect restful sleep for you, along with some solutions that you can take. For now, I'm going to sign off. I'd love to hear your feedback about this and about what most keeps you stuck in old patterns and what helps you to free yourself for your next step. Come on over to habitsandhealth.com and let me know by clicking on the survey link. And if you have a habit that's creating problems for you, or if someone you know has a problem habit, then come to the website too and request my free ebook. It's called Do You Have a Habit or Does Your Habit Have You? And it can help you clarify the issues that you're dealing with. You can also find other podcast articles and resources on the website. No matter what, remember to start small and be kind to yourself along the way. You've been listening to Habits into Health, and this is Michael Ann Conley. I'm here to help you stop feeling so out of control over those unhealthy habits and stop wondering what you're doing wrong or what's wrong with you so that you can start creating a life where you're in charge of them rather than the other way around. Thanks so much for joining me.